Welcome back to the Meet St. Louis podcast, the show taking you behind the scenes of your favorite restaurants, breweries, and small businesses. I'm your host, Alexis Zotos with KMOV. St. Louis Pride is something we talk about and feature every week on this podcast, and this week's episode is no different. The idea for Series 6 all started with a desire to show off Sammy Maurer's hometown pride when she was at college in Alabama. So she got to work designing a t-shirt that she could wear. She admits the design wouldn't be quite as trendy now, but it was a huge hit when she created it when the company first started. She started selling a couple t-shirts and then a couple more, and it grew from an Etsy shop to a pop-up business, and in just a matter of weeks, she will open her first storefront in Brentwood. Sammy joined us to chat about building her apparel company from the ground up, the dream partnerships that she's been able to get with the St. Louis Blues and Anheuser-Busch, and she also shares the one she's still chasing. And listeners, she's got a request from all of you to see if you can help make this dream partnership happen. She also shares her advice for entrepreneurs on what to do if you keep hearing no. Just a little hint, she says it does not faze her. So let's meet Sammy. Well, thank you for joining us on the podcast today.
Yeah, I'm excited. Thanks for having me.
You guys have had some really exciting news for the business. You've just won a free storefront. What does that mean for Series 6 and how you can grow?
Yeah, we're so excited. I mean, we've been kind of considering the idea of a storefront for a while now. But of course, you can't beat this kind of opportunity for a free space and kind of for us to have really a trial run at retail and see if this is kind of the direction that we want to continue to go in the future. And it'll give us an awesome opportunity to keep growing, really lay down roots in St. Louis, and to be able to interact with our customers on a daily basis, which is something that we typically don't have the opportunity to do.
Right. And this was all part of a competition that happened with the Brentwood Boulevard shopping complex there. How did you guys decide to apply, and what was it like to get the call that you were selected?
Yeah, so we kind of saw it getting advertised on social media, and you know, we thought it was a really cool concept and could be a really awesome opportunity for us. So we applied, you know, hoping that it could potentially turn into something. And it was just, the whole process was really cool, from the interview to the event. I mean, it was an awesome group of finalists. And then when we got the news that we won, I mean, we were so excited and just really grateful for the opportunity. And just kind of really from there, I mean, it opens, you know, in a matter of weeks. So we kind of just hit the ground running with getting a checklist together on everything that we have to do to make the most of the opportunity.
Yeah. How does that look, that process of, okay, we've got a matter of weeks to literally open a brand new store? What does that process look like?
Yeah, it's crazy. So, you know, we've kind of had the idea of retail for a while. So we've done a decent amount of research as far as like checklist things that we knew that we were going to have to do if we went down the retail avenue. So we had kind of a good, idea of what all needs to get accomplished. So step one was just kind of making a big list of like, okay, here's everything that needs to get done. Let's break it down into what has the most sense of urgency. And then kind of breaking things down into digestible, small pieces that we can do, little by little in order to make it happen.
And then does inventory change, or is that adjustments that you have to make? I know you guys have a lot of inventory because you do pop-ups and things like that. But when you open up a retail front, does that change how inventory works for you?
Yeah, we'll certainly, you know, have to have more inventory on hand than we typically do. So we'll pad any sort of orders that we have for shirts in order, you know, to take into account that we'll hopefully be selling more than we typically do each week. And we have great, awesome local print partners, Left Hand Promotions out of Soulard. So they do all of our screen printing for us. And they're local, so they can turn things around pretty quickly. quickly for us. So, you know, if we realize, wow, we need a lot more than we initially thought, they're going to be able to make it happen for us. So it's really awesome to have such a strong partnership here in St. Louis and know that they're going to help us along the way.
How crazy is it to think back when you first started this idea for your company, which I was sort of reading some of your background, which really just started with an idea. You were looking for a certain kind of St. Louis shirt.
Yeah. So I started everything when I was in college. I noticed all these different Southern t-shirt brands, and it really started to get me thinking, you know, we don't really have that much like that in St. Louis. And, you know, I had so much St. Louis pride and wanting to wear St. Louis stuff, you know, down south around campus. So when I was home one summer, I just designed one shirt and then kind of began selling it, and things kind of went from there. But yeah, it's crazy to think back about how everything started when I had one design and stacks of shirts, you know, lining my parents' dining room, and people were messaging me, you know, when they could come pick up their shirt, and how it's kind of grown from that just small little project into what it is now. It's really cool to think back on, you know, how it began.
What was that first shirt? What did it look like?
It was a St.
And do you
Louis
still
baseball.
Sell it?
No, I don't. It was a St. Louis baseball kind of inspired shirt, and it's when Chevron was really big. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Chevron was like the thing back then, and it had Chevron on it. So naturally it made it a hit. But that was kind of the initial design. And then once we had that one, you know, I kind of saw how things went with that, and I started creating a few more, you know. So originally I'd have one shirt that I would be bringing to events, and then it started going to two shirts, three shirts, whatever. And, you know, now we have hundreds of different shirts.
How did you kind of figure, I mean, you were studying business, you obviously were getting, you were studying graphic designs, you had that element, but how did you figure out how to go from selling one shirt to, I guess, to friends, to family, and then to scaling that up to selling it on a broader level?
Yeah. So originally I was selling just that one shirt, and just kind of little by little, and basically all social media. I mean, just my mm-hmm. own personal Facebook pretty much, and posting it and having people share whatever. And then it was one of my brother's friends was like, hey, you should really put this on Etsy. Like, you could sell stuff on Etsy. So then I kind of was like, okay, let me try this Etsy thing. And I put the shirt on Etsy, and, you know, I would sell little by little, like one a month or something mm-hmm. like that. And then I started looking into a ton of different Etsy shops and how, you know, I could have this like Etsy business. And I started doing all this custom drinkware and glassware for like weddings and sororities, and totally different than what I do now. But I started doing that and scaling that up and seeing kind of how that worked, how I could just kind of add more and more ideas to it. And I was doing that for a while before I realized, you know, t-shirts is what I really want to get back to. So I kind of invested a lot more time into creating some different t-shirt designs. And then it was really a lot of the local events that helped me kind of continue to grow that. I started with a couple different local events, and then I would just do more and more and more. Any event that I could find, I would do. And then I started getting into some different boutiques, and the boutiques would have requests for designs they wanted. So then I would add, you know, these additional designs kind of to like my portfolio of designs. And then it just kind of started growing from there, until eventually I was like, okay, I need to take these off of Etsy and build this whole brand around it. Cause I, you know, I wanted to have that real social media presence, and I wanted to have my own website that I built out and all of that. So things just kind of started to continue to grow from there.
Where did the name Series 6 come from?
So the 6 came from my dad played for the St. Louis Ambush, which was the indoor soccer team way back in the day. And he was number 6. And then my brother and I always chose 6 for sports growing up. I played college volleyball and I was number 6. And then it also has the tie-in with St. Louis, with Stan the Man, mm-hmm. and then Game 6. And Series honestly just sounded good with it. And like the domain name and the social media was available, which are things that like you don't always think of initially, but are actually pretty important. So that's kind of how the name came about. But it took me so long to come up with, because I knew, you know, I knew it was something that I was going to hopefully have for a very long time. So I put a lot of thought into what it was going to be.
Do you remember the moment that you kind of started to decide that you wanted to take this from a part-time situation to making this a full-time job, career, business?
Yeah, it was something that I had thought about for a while and, you know, was really considering, okay, can I do this? Can I not? And out of college, I had a full-time job for 6 months while I was still growing the business. And I was really fortunate that the company I worked for let me work part-time for another 6 months when I was growing the business. So mm-hmm. I could kind of ease my way into it, where I had, you know, the security of having a part-time gig, but also I, you know, had more time that I could focus on growing the business. But yeah, I was really hesitant. I'm like, okay, can I do this? Can I not? And it was my brother who like poured over the financials and stuff. I was like, oh, you can do this. Like, you got it. Like, you can make it happen. And I was living with my parents at the time. I mean, I was just a year out of college. Mm-hmm. So I was fortunate that I didn't have like a ton of expenses that I could kind of take the risk. And then sure. Yeah, once I jumped in kind of head first, I didn't really look back.
Were there ever moments that you were like, wait a second, what have I done? This is a crazy idea. Or did you really know from seeing the excitement, seeing those repeat purchases from customers, that this was going to take off?
Yeah, I think I was confident enough in myself that like I was gonna do, you know, whatever I needed to do to make it work, you know, like if I was gonna have to work 80 hours a week or something crazy to make it happen, like I knew I was gonna put in that effort. And I mean, I then and now I had such an awesome support system of friends and family that I could lean on, that were gonna help me from, you know, working events to talking through, you know, which design idea they liked better and all that stuff, that I had a lot of confidence in what I was doing. And I saw the excitement from customers. And once I switched over to building the brand of Series 6 and taking everything off Etsy and building that brand, I really saw things grow a lot quicker than they had been before I had taken those steps.
What's your advice for people on that idea of growing a brand? Because it is more than just, we've got these shirts, we're putting them online. How do you go about building a brand? And what were some of the elements of kind of figuring out what Series 6 meant?
Yeah, I think one piece of advice I try to give is that it doesn't happen overnight. You know, a lot of people will have really big ideas and be really excited about something. And, you know, they might start the brand and start the social media and the website and stuff and kind of be doing and posting it for a couple weeks or months. And they're like, oh, well, I'm not, you know, I don't have thousands of followers yet, you know, but it's, I think the beginning stages, it can be pretty slow to kind of getting to the point that you want to be. And a lot of people will become impatient with it or think that it'll never get there. And so you kind of have to take baby steps and have like small goals and benchmarks that you want to get to, and realize that it's not just, things aren't just going to be an overnight success, that they take a lot of time and work. That's certainly one piece of advice I would give. Another one is just to be super authentic. That's one thing that we really try to do with our brand. I mean, we, you know, yes, there's some level of professionalism that we want to have, but we also want people to realize that like it's fun, and we, you know, there are times where we are filling orders and have stacks of boxes overflowing out of my kitchen because we're a tiny business and, you know, we work out of a home, and that's just kind of the reality of it. But we try to be as authentic as we can and portray, you know, our story throughout everything that we do and just really have fun. And people see that, and people, you know, want to support businesses that are like a small local dream. So the more that we kind of continue to tell our story, I think people can connect and identify with that. And that's really helped us in growing the brand.
Do you think that's something that you've seen change and evolve since you started this business, the idea of supporting local and this really huge desire to shop as small as possible? Do you think that's something you've really witnessed change, especially here in St. Louis?
Yeah, it's been awesome to see in St. Louis. I mean, just the community of local small businesses and how they support each other, and just, you know, St. Louisans wanting to shop local, wanting to support small businesses. I think it's huge. And over the past few years, I mean, we've seen just the number of events there are just really grow that offer pop-up opportunities for small businesses. I mean, and we would 100% not be where we are if there weren't so many events that, you know, wanted to host us and that we could pop up a tent and sell to customers. We've just seen so much support for that, and just the quality of, you know, local makers in St. Louis. It's not like we're popping up next to, you know, some knit pot holders or like, you know, something that's not new and innovative and exciting. Like, we're popping up next to these like awesome brands that have, you know, a full out concept and business plan. And it's just really cool to see that evolve, and the like entrepreneurial spirit in St. Louis has been really, really cool to be a part of.
Did that ever worry you? The idea that, you know, I totally agree with you, this idea that we like for a long time couldn't get really cool St. Louis gear. It was something I felt I noticed as well. Did it ever worry you when you were starting the business that you wouldn't be able to compete with something like an Amazon or even, you know, a larger sports company brand if they decided to kind of make some more St. Louis focus gear? Because as a small business, you've got to, you know, crunch the numbers and make those work.
Yeah. I mean, I think, well, going back to when I started it, part of it was because so much of the St. Louis stuff was so generic, you know, it was stuff that companies were mass producing, and, you know, from the sports teams gear to just regular stuff, it kind of looked the same for each and every city. So I think, you know, we were able to bring designs that were unique and different and that people couldn't really get other places. And that's what kind of made them take off. And like, we see it now, like working with people like the Blues and getting to design for them, you know, our stuff stands out from some of the other, you know, really large national brands that are making stuff for every single team, and it just, you're just swapping out, you know, which team name it is, but everything looks pretty uniform throughout you know, National Hockey League. But I think us being able to bring something that's a little bit more unique and really shows like the character of St. Louis, I think fans and customers really appreciate that.
So I'd love to talk about that design process. How do you sit down to try to create a new design? What does that look like?
Yeah, so it's different each and every time. There's sometimes where we just like see some piece of, you know, art or influence somewhere and we're like, oh, it just hits us, you know, that could like something we see there could translate into a new design. There are other times where it takes a lot of effort, especially when we're doing sports stuff. We will dive through like just Google Images and Pinterest of, you know, 80s, you know, inspired designs, 80s, 90s inspired designs, and like look at different typography and styles and stuff and see if there's like little pieces of influence that we can bring in that might kind of get our wheels turning and a new design concept for us. And then we kind of mix that with paying attention to different trends and styles that are in right now and try to combine the two, the vintage and retro feel with kind of the new trends as well.
How fun is that for you to kind of bring in those retro vibes and kind of recreate something new?
Oh, it's so fun. We love working with retro and vintage stuff. And it's really fun to kind of see all those concepts being brought together. And then typically, you know, we might lay out the same design and 10 different colors or on 10 different styles. And then we'll kind of get our final vote down on what we like, or we'll send it out to friends or family and be like, okay, vote on your top, you know, two or three, and then we'll pick which ones we're actually going to get to produce.
So you guys still really lean heavily a lot on friends, family to help guide, you know, what can be a success.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I totally lean on my family a ton, and, you know, from asking them for feedback on different stuff to working different events, you know, they've been a big help for the whole process.
What has been the most exciting collaboration for you? You mentioned you guys have started working with the St. Louis Blues, which I imagine must have been a huge get. Is there a collaboration for you that's been the most exciting?
Yeah, I mean, the Blues was definitely really awesome. We, you know, that opportunity was so cool. And just to see, you know, they have such a dedication to working with local brands, whether it's some of the food vendors that they have inside Enterprise to other retail vendors. It's really cool to see such, you know, a large company making such an effort to work with small businesses. So working with them has been amazing. And then getting to work with Anheuser-Busch this past year has been awesome. That was totally a dream collab and something that we've kind of been pushing for a while, but, you know, getting them to agree to that and kind of let us run with a lot of ideas and design concepts that really celebrated the fact that Anheuser-Busch is from St. Louis. I know a lot of people take a lot of pride in that. Mm-hmm. It was really, really cool to get to work with them and do some vintage inspired, you know, Budweiser and AB designs.
How did that partnership and that collab come about? You mentioned it was something you had been hoping for. What's the process? I mean, is it just a matter of reaching out to a large company like AB and saying, we want to work with you?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a little tricky. I had some friends and friends of friends that worked for AB, so it was kind of, you know, continuously month after month kind of putting in the, hey, can you connect me with someone who might have, you know, the power to approve something like this? Who should I get in touch with? Who should I email? And kind of continue to reach out to different people within AB, really just finding out like, okay, who's the best person to talk to? Who can kind of approve this sort of thing? And then, you know, finally getting a call and getting to pitch them kind of our concepts and hoping that it would all work out. So it was kind of, you know, knocking on the door quite a few times before you can actually, you know, make it happen. And sometimes that kind of persistence is what it takes. But it was really cool to get to work with them, continue to work with them. And it's an awesome partnership that we hope to have for a long time.
Do you ever get discouraged from kind of hearing no from companies or from ideas? And what keeps you going and waiting for that yes?
Oh, not anymore. I'm completely immune to anyone saying no to something. We'll kind of reach for the stars. And if something pans out, great. And if not, okay, we have a long list of other people that we're going to ask to work with us. So, yeah, I mean, we could, you know, we want to work with as many people as possible. And, you know, also once you work with a few people that are pretty big, it's easier to get the next big one under your belt. So now that we're able to say, you know, we work with the Blues, we work with AB, it gives us kind of the street cred that, you know, we're not just two girls running a small business out of a house where, you know, getting a little bit bigger, and now with the storefront, that's, you know, even going to escalate us to the next level. So, you know, we hope for a ton of continued partnerships in the future.
Is there another dream partnership for you guys?
Okay, my number one dream partnership, and if you or anyone else can make this happen for me, we've done a ton of restaurant shirts, so we have nearly 30 now. We have two more coming out this week. And the number one, I already have the design envisioned in my head, is I want to do a Mike Tolenius jukebox shirt.
Oh my God, yes.
I've tried getting a hold of them time after time. I've reached out to managers and bartenders, and I haven't gotten the approval for that one yet, but that would just I just have the design in my head, so I want to make it a reality. And
I
with the
love
restaurant
that
shirts,
that's the partnership, because I feel like any St. Louisan that has spent some late night hours in a bar has spent time at Telenia's.
exactly. Yeah, and with the restaurant shirts, I mean, we have been able to donate a lot of money to these different bars and restaurants too. So we'd love to support them. Yeah, of course, have a lot of good memories inside of there, but yeah, I always say that Tulane is my dream club. But
I
I mean,
love it.
there's plenty of other different businesses that we would love to work with. We do a lot of charity T-shirts as well, so getting to partner with additional charities in St. Louis too. We're really game for anything, and the Cardinals would be a pipeline dream collab, so maybe that could happen someday as well.
Well, and you mentioned your restaurant shirts and the business shirts you guys have done with your Support Local series. How did that idea come about to create shirts for our local businesses and donate the proceeds to them?
Yeah, so that whole idea was actually presented to us by Left Hand, our print partners down in Soulard. It was kind of early COVID, and we were both kind of brainstorming, okay, what are ways that we can continue to stay busy? They can continue to print shirts, we can continue to design and sell shirts, and then how can we also kind of look to support the community? And they were like, hey, you could do some restaurant shirts. So we love the idea, and we love the idea of doing some like vintage throwback retro restaurant shirts. And so we reached out to a few at first that we thought would really hit well with our target market and that kind of have like a cult following. And once we started doing a few, our customers just loved it. And we were getting more and more requests for, hey, you should do a McGurk shirt, you should do a TMF shirt, people just reaching out wanting different restaurants. So it just kind of snowballed from there, and we had a lot of restaurants reaching out to us too, how do we apply, how do we get a shirt? And the past year we were able to raise over $100,000 between the restaurant shirts and the different charity partnerships, COVID relief partnerships that we were able to support in St. Louis. So it's been
That's
a really
huge.
cool
That's a
project.
huge
Yeah.
number of just something that, obviously it's not simple from the design to the work you guys put into it, but it's a simple way that so many people in St. Louis can turn around and support their favorite restaurant, whether they were closed or suffering greatly due to COVID. That's amazing. $100,000 is definitely something to be proud of.
Yeah, it's been really fun. Getting to work with the different restaurants has been really fun, and work on these shirts. And we're hoping as, things begin to open up a little bit more, we'll be able to do some different pop-ups and additional collabs with some of these restaurants that we've, started to build these partnerships with.
So we talked about that dream collab. You've got the storefront coming in just a matter of weeks. What's next on the horizon for Series 6?
Really just making this storefront as awesome as we can, as cool of a retail experience for our customers in St. Louis, and really taking this opportunity and running with it. That's what we're going to be dedicated to the next few weeks. We have a spring summer AB release that's going to be coming as well in the next month or so. So we're excited for that. And yeah, really just excited about the storefront. And we're going to continue to do events as more and more start taking place as well. Events are kind of what we've built the business on. So we're going to make sure that we have a presence at a lot of those as well.
Obviously, we've got the Blues still playing. Cardinals are back. What is it like for you to walk around St. Louis and see people wearing your designs?
Oh, it's so exciting. I mean, it was really exciting, you know, several years ago when it first started happening, and it's still just as exciting now, you know, being able to walk around a game or being out at dinner or whatever and looking around like, oh, that's my shirt, that's my hat. It's still really fun to see. It'll never not be exciting, and you know, just make me smile every time that I see it kind of out in the public.
You can get your hands on Series 6 gear in quite a lot of places, of course, on their website, as well as pop-up events all across the St. Louis area. And pretty soon, you'll be able to walk right into that brand new storefront just across from the St. Louis Galleria at the Boulevard in Brentwood. Stay tuned to our social media accounts, Meet St. Louis Podcast, Instagram, and Facebook. We'll be sure to announce when they have an opening date for that storefront so you too can show off your St. Louis pride. This episode was produced and edited by JJ Bailey.